Big Smoke Music Weekly.
After a week off with my good friends Lemsip, Vix, and Mr. Blanket, I'm back. Big Smoke returns for the final proper episode of Season 2. We have a massive in-focus chat with Jacob Weldon, lead singer and friend of show from Sad Boys Club. And we'll be playing you a load of new tunes that me and Dave are loving, and a couple of gig reviews from Dave, because I've been so ill. Anyway, this first one, this is Hotel Lux, tabloid newspaper.
That the very best lyrics would come straight from the heart. I was always told that every lyric I wrote, it would tear me apart. I would have a notebook full of my deepest thoughts and I would sing them to a tune. But my iPhone's full of clever little lines. I sing them out of tune. I sing them out of tune.
I'm like a tabloid newspaper.
All over that one, that is Hotel Lux with Tabloid Newspaper, which came out November 29th. They've just announced a 12-date tour in February and March of next year, and they're playing Waiting Room in London on March the 3rd. So that single there, the follow-up to English Disease. Dave, welcome. Did you miss me, mate?
Oh, so much.
So much. Joe, I had an inadvertent week out of our nation's capital.
Did you?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Oh, are you hearing a slight refined husk in my voice there?
A little bit, yeah. I think I've got it as well, actually.
Don't blame
me. We're going on smooth jazz radio.
Smooth jazz. The return of midnight jazz. but yeah, mate, honestly, man flu is the worst thing. I just think I had a chest infection, mate. Honestly, I sound like Marge Simpson. And I was just literally like, I was calling up people. Well, people from work were calling me. I was like, yeah. And yeah, just couldn't make head or tail.
I like how you had to leave a little voice message on our group chat just to reassure us that you are that sick.
Yeah, well, you know when you're a bit bored and you're like, well, I'm just here scratching.
Yes, Luke, we get it. You're
right. And you're like, well, I'm sat here watching Lorraine Kelly, but I'm getting bored and I need some sympathy. So I thought I'd let the world know. So that was that. But David, tell me about your Sunday night venture.
Last night?
Ooh. Yep.
Well, last Sunday, whenever.
I forget, it's Monday.
I went to Moth Club to see a band called Mets.
Yeah. Get any holes in your clothes?
That's terrible.
But
now I had lavender bags all over.
Yeah, so who did you see? Mets?
Mets, Canadian punk band for I was going to say Canadian punk band from Canada.
From France, actually.
Big fan of theirs. They supported Idol at Ali Pali the night before. So they said they weren't in the best of shapes, but they absolutely smashed it. Blew the top off the roof.
Yeah.
The roof off the top. Right.
Got a band from Canada and they're Canadian and they blew the roof off the top of the building.
Good little treat because the guitarist from Idols came on and played a song with him.
Yeah, I saw that. Good. Looked nuts from the footage.
Yeah, it was mental, mate. Like, I was towards the back because it's a Sunday night and I can't get up for Sunday night gigs. However much I try.
Yeah.
But what were you looking at me with?
You had one last Sunday though, didn't you?
Yeah, I know.
What do you mean? I can't get up for them, but I've booked them twice.
As in, like, you know, getting up for it, like getting involved and getting down the front. I'm just more watching from the back because I watched Shame the week before. Mm. And normally, like we talked before, Shame, I'm just gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Even then, I was just so chilling. But no, it was good. And bumped into Danny Nedelka as well.
Say hello.
Friend of the show. Said hello.
Friend of the show.
Not sure if he remembered there. I was like, when Biggs went, you're like, all right.
Probably because he was off his nut. Yeah. But anyway, Dave, I like your new jumper.
Thanks, mate. That I've had since 2014, I think.
Every bit of clothing you have is new.
Everything.
I never see any of it. Half of what you have, well, I say half. One shirt of yours, I still need to reclaim. Anyway, right, let's have this one then, shall we? This is Peggy Sue, Motorcade.
I'll be your
That there was Peggy Sue with Motorcade, released on October 15th, Dave. And they got a new album coming out on February 21st called Vices, Little London Two Piece, which you don't often get. I was quite surprised when I saw that.
London Two Piece.
Not many of them. I mean, just a two piece in general. Not,
you know, like going in a, isn't that like a bikini or. Going out in a two-piece in London.
Go down to the...
It's usually too cold for that, mate.
Down at Brockrow Lido. Bloody hell.
It's very very hot, though, because it's very surfy, so they might wear a two-piece.
Yeah, I was going to say, down at Brockrow Lido.
Yeah.
Blimey, she's wearing a London two-piece. interesting you say that. The very notes I just scribbled down there was beach pop.
Very surfy.
And, definitely harks back to a time gone by there, Dave.
I love, like, the Beach Boys-y guitar in it.
Yeah, yeah. What was that?
Me playing guitar.
That was you playing guitar, was
it?
You look like, all I can describe that is a Thunderbird.
No, it's when you know when you bang your hand and it really hurts. You're like,
shit. I tell you, oh, mate, I stubbed my toe the other day. Freaking Jesus Christ, mate. I did it on a door frame.
How many swear words do you come out with? That's when you dig out swear words you haven't said in 5 years. And you're like, Jesus, mother of Christ.
But it's one of those pains, isn't it? It fucking hurts so much. Yeah. So it's like you laugh, you know, when you're like, ha, 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 ha. It's that weird pain where you're like
you gotta laugh and you're crying.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ, mate, my foot was fucking throbbing for like.
And it's funny; those always make me laugh because you can never explain to someone how much it hurts. No, they're like, all right, Gary's like,
it's like, you know, when you get one of those tiny cuts and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, paper cut.
I'd rather have my face blown off. This is ridiculous. You got a paper cut. Killing me. Anyway, mate, I was going to ask, because I keep buying stuff for myself and then I keep forgetting it's festive period and I should probably be purchasing other people.
What are you getting me for Christmas?
Do you know what? I actually brought you a housewarming present, but you haven't set up inviting me around.
I've invited you around plenty of times.
20 times. I just haven't been around. So I've got it at my house.
Oh.
Yeah. So I need to give you that. But yeah, mate, have you brought anyone anything?
Yeah, I've got my parents' stuff on the weekend. What'd
you get? Actually, no, your dad listens.
Oh, yeah.
You nearly gave the game away then.
It's my mum's birthday on Christmas, so it's double whammy.
Oh, yeah, we spoke about this last episode. Selfish. Very selfish of them.
Yeah. So I got her some, you know, typical bath stuff.
Sorry, the way you said that, I thought you meant stuff from Bath.
Oh, yeah, I went on a little trip to Bath.
Bath stuff.
I've got one of those chocolate of cheeses from Bath.
What is Bath stuff?
Bath.
A little Roman figurine.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting. Run me through, like, the Bowen household. What do you do first thing in the morning when you wake up on Christmas Day?
Normally,
do you sing happy birthday or say Merry Christmas?
It's a thing that my dad said to me when I was younger, that always say happy birthday to your mum first, because that's the more important day.
Or do you go, happy birthday, Jesus.
Happy Christmas, Merry Birthday.
Us Bowens have a laugh when we get together.
We normally have, it's quite good because it's my mum's birthday, we normally have cake in the morning. Cake and champagne, it's great.
Cake and champagne, Jesus. Yeah. Mate, you've said that to me and I'm becoming such an old man. First thing I thought of was heartburn.
God, get the Rennies out.
Big Spoke Music Weekly, sponsored by Rennies. Honest, mate, the amount of Rennies I get through at Christmas, Jesus. Yeah. It can't be good for you.
No. But
heartburn's horrific.
Yeah, I'd say I'd take it over.
When you're there staring at that final lump of camembert on your plate and you're like, I need a Rennie to get through
it. It's the worst when you go down to get a glass of water at 2 a.m. and you're just like looking in the fridge and you're like, ooh,
mate,
there's a pig in blanket left.
Don't mind if I do. Mate, the worst thing that happened to me at Christmas once, I drank so many White Russians. I had like a dairy reaction. I came up in this rash and I looked like a pink and white cow. The moral of the story is don't have too many White Russians.
What isn't a White Russian?
It's Kahlua and vodka and a bit of milk.
Do you like eggnog?
No.
No.
Snowball?
What's that?
It's that weird stuff. Advocar with lemonade and a bit of lime.
No. Makes me feel sick.
All right. Merry Christmas. I'm fucking out, Dave.
Big Smoke, sponsored by Snowballs. Makes me feel sick.
If it's not a birthday cake, I don't fucking know on Christmas. Anyway, right, let's have some Mahuzik. This is Shopping with Initiative, which sounds like a government scheme.
Razor sharp tongue.
I love me a track that just ends dead like that, Dave.
Dead on the spot.
Dead on the spot. You turn that very bleak then. That was Shopping with Initiative, released December 5th off their latest album, All or Nothing, which came out via Fat Cat Records. They go on a mega tour next year. They're all over the place. They're playing US, Canada, Europe, all through March, April and May next year. And they're landing in London on May 5th at Lexington, one of our fave venues. But yeah, Dave, we're just having a wee chitter-chatter there about... how they're all over the place. I think they're all from LA, but they're based across London and Glasgow.
London, yeah. Yeah. Mishmash.
Mad. It's mad. There was a band the other week, wasn't there, that we were chatting about? They were based in Edinburgh and Berlin.
And yeah.
It's crazy the amount of bands.
It must be quite difficult to, I don't know, like to put, like, you know, get it all together.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're lot traveling a lot. It could be tiring, I guess, but
do you reckon they ever just get like a Skype session going and jam
I'd really like to hear a band play a song over Skype,
yeah, to see if they have the same tightness via video because they do, because you must have in a band, you must be able to pick up when people are like, you look at each other and like you just know,
yeah, you see bands do that when they're playing live, you
feed
like,
off the energy
just
of it,
feeling like where, how the like rhythm and yeah, members are going, and that's what gets you going.
I mean, we both say that Shopping sound like Sushi and the Banshees or The Fall, but maybe via Skype they'd sound like New Order. Just completely out of sync.
They just sound like bloody Aqua.
Anyway, Dave, should we have a bit of this now?
Bloody hell!
Oh my God!
Fucking Christ alive! Fucking Big Smoke! Focus.
Yes, this week for our final, as I said, proper Big Smoke episode of season 2, we're going to be having a chat with yet another friend of the show. This is what happened when we caught up with Jacob Weldon, lead singer of Sad Boys Club. So Jacob, mate, thanks for joining us. This has been a long time coming.
It has been. Well, it's been since 110 Above Festival, really,
it
wasn't
was.
It
was when, drunken plans come to fruition.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful thing.
It's amazing. So what's been going on? What have you been up to today?
Today has been Christmas shopping and Minecraft.
A big combination. What? Who have you been buying presents for today?
Today has been, just like kind of, I hope they're not going to live to this, but like the awkward.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, Dave nearly dropped himself in it by telling him what he got his dad.
Oh no, that can't be done. No, it's like it's all the slightly awkward extended family who sort of like you know a little bit, but kind of have to sort of shoot in the dark a bit.
You just get little random knickknacks for, you know. Like,
exactly. So
good word, Dave. Knickknacks.
There's
always that thing, isn't there, where you're like, do I buy for this person? I don't know. And then you turn up on Christmas Day and they've brought you loads and you're like, oh god.
Disaster. Shit. I mean, I have a get out clause of being Jewish, so I kind of
I don't even celebrate this.
Exactly. I'm like, it's a cultural thing.
That's perfect, mate. That's perfect. So, mate, obviously, want to chat about Sad Boys Club, lovely gang of youths that you are. But yeah, mate, I just wanted to ask, because obviously it's been quite a busy year for you guys. We'll come on to the EP stuff in a bit, but you've had 4 singles out as well as that EP. So has it felt like a mad year for you guys?
We've always put out a lot of music. I mean, so this is our second year really doing it. We've always put out, everyone's always told us we put out too much music too quickly. So on that side, it doesn't feel all that different to usual. We just got so much we want to put out. We're constantly hungry to be onto the next thing, really. So it hasn't felt particularly laborious in that sense. But in terms of gigging and stuff, yeah, I mean, everything's got a lot more intense this year, and hopefully it's just going to keep growing.
Yeah, very
bigger
nice,
and busier. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Well, when I was, because obviously I've done hours of research before this interview, Jacob, and I was looking at gigs you have coming up, and I think you're pretty much done for this year. But then I looked, because on a couple of episodes ago, I think it was when Tucker was in the studio with us, I noticed when I looked you guys up that it was the most Jacob thing in the world that you're listed as a quintet. And then I was like, oh, and the boys are off to Wee Paris next year. I was like, that's going to suit them.
Bah oui.
That's going to suit them very well.
Bah oui, c'est vrai. Yeah, we're just kind of trying to work out the logistics of that on the WhatsApp group at the moment. It's an absolute nightmare.
I was going to say, how's this going to... Are you a ferryman? Are you flying? Are you getting the train?
Well, that's what we're all at in kind of typical Sad Boys style. Like, at the moment, it looks like we've got some people flying, some going by trains, some taking the car on the Euro tunnel or whatever. So, as long as we all arrive, as long as we get there,
having a race, aren't you?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, yeah, that's with you're going over there to play with Gender Roles, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. I'm really excited for that, actually. That's our first time outside of the UK. So.
Oh, nice one. That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, that will be cool. And they're a great band, so it's awesome to be.
Yeah. Because I know you've had across this year, you've had some quite big support slots as well. So, I mean, different bands feel differently about support slots, but where do you guys stand on it? Because I guess, obviously, especially if you can go out and play in Europe, then you're all for it.
Yeah, like, I think it's how you cut your teeth, isn't it? Like, it's a strange one. The different, like, bands definitely kind of, audiences have a personality to them, I think, especially when you're playing with bands like Bombay Bicycle Club or Spectre, who have these kind of cult fan bases, and they have a different kind of way of engaging with the show, and it's quite
sure.
It's an engaging proposition to kind of work out how to play that and the boundaries of what you can and how you can sculpt your band into pockets without losing the sense of what it is that you are, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
I really enjoy the challenge of it, and it means getting in front of bigger audiences, and especially when it's bands that we love and have an influence on what it is that we're writing and stuff. It's kind of a privilege, really. So
sure, man.
I'm for it.
Great. I was going to say as well, because when I've been pouring my love for you guys, as people and as a band, onto other people, they're like, what sort of stuff is Sad Boys Club then? I'm always a bit like, and I think this is a positive thing, I'm always a bit like, I don't really know what I'd describe them as, to be honest, because your sound has even like, as you said, you've only been around for the last couple of years or whatever, putting music out, it has changed quite a bit through the releases even this year.
It has, yeah. And I mean I will call you up on that a little bit, because
here we go.
The podcast, and I know you poked a little bit of fun about the Cure.
Oh no, but that's all groovy.
It's a compliment, but yeah, I had a little bit of a jive in the last podcast with Shannon on that. So.
That there was the Cure.
I know, man. I can't really complain about that. But yeah, I mean, this is such a standard answer of artists right now, but like,
yeah,
it's the way that you consume music is so, you listen to such a varied amount of music and you can switch from one thing to the next so quickly. It's kind of bleeds into, and we've grown up with streaming and stuff. So it's kind of natural to be diverse in how you're creating, because it's how you're consuming, I think. So
yeah,
I think the trick is whether you manage to retain a certain je ne sais quoi about your own thing that can kind of hold its own across whatever, you know, avenues you're exploring and whatever. But I take it as a compliment that you're not able to put it in a box. I don't like.
Exactly.
But,
it's all good.
Let me take that as a compliment. Thanks, man.
I hear that you personally were in a band before Sad Boys Club. Can you tell us any bit about that? And was any find any learning curve from that, and any like experiences that have got you to where you are now?
I should have told Shannon that this line of questioning is absolutely out of bounds.
She never mentioned that, mate.
I was in a couple of bands, both with our drummer Tom at school, and I think. The biggest thing that we learned from that was not to lose sight of creatively what you want to do. I think with again on the streaming topic, it's quite easy to look at things as a kind of hierarchy of statistics and popularity and that kind of thing. And I think that can often lure you into writing a certain way or whatever if you get lost in what it is that you want and the reasons that you're doing things. And so the failure of those previous bands has kind of taught us to stick to what it is that we love and to the kind of creative ideals that we're interested in rather than any other distractions. So that's the biggest learning curve.
Very nice, mate. And how did you meet the rest of the guys of Sad Boys Club? Did you find Chris chiseling his jawline one day?
The way I met Chris is actually like exactly as you would probably expect. He was in a covers band playing an event and he just absolutely slayed Mr. Brightside. And I was like,
I was just smiling away as well.
Yeah, oh, he was beaming. And we were looking for a guitarist because somebody had left the band and I had had a couple of drinks and I was just like, mate, I've never heard someone play Mr. Brightside that well. You simply have to join my band. And he sort of slightly reluctantly at first said, okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's how I met him. And then Pedro, the our bassist and our producer, and I was working on a project that never really saw the light of day.
Right.
A few years ago, and he was the engineer on those sessions, and we met through that, and he was kind of like, dude, this project that you're doing right now sucks, but I've heard some of your other demos, and I think that we should go and work on this instead. And that's kind of how Sad Boys began. And then Tom, the drummer, has been in bands with since school. We went to school together, and that's the full lineup.
There you go. What a great family. I've got a mate. Yeah. Whenever I think about the name of the band, I love the name of the band, but it's just is not in line with any of you guys at all, because you're a happy bunch.
Well, I think I suppose on the surface we are. I think like this conversation, it needs to be like handled like quite delicately, I think. But I think like the men's mental health thing, it's like, I think, I didn't really realize the responsibility that maybe we were taking on in calling it Sad Boys Club in how we handle that conversation, especially if we gain more exposure and stuff. But
sure,
there is a responsibility to some extent to deal with it in an appropriate way. But I think we were trying to just take some ownership of not feeling negative about having those emotions. And the songs are relatively melancholic on the whole and deal with mental health quite a bit. I think it's like, that's probably a good thing that we still come across happy, but you know, there's a depth there, everyone and anyone, and everyone's got their...
Sure. Well, I suppose with mental health and those issues that you brought up there, with the connotations of club, it's almost kind of like you're telling everyone it's cool to not be all right.
Yeah, cool is maybe a little...
Not cool, but I mean, like, as in okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's just about, like, I think it was just about, like, trying to make that space a comfortable one for men and encouraging that kind of, you know, openness to talk about it in a way that you don't need to be ashamed of. Like, the club was hopefully, like, an inclusive... It's just about being inclusive, really, isn't
Indeed.
It?
Indeed. We're on board. We're on board anyway.
Good. I'm glad to have you on board as members.
And you just come off a show, your headline show at Colours. How did you find that? Mm-hmm. Was that a big one for you?
Yeah, it was amazing, man. It was great. We had an absolute whale of a time. It was great to top off like a pretty massive year for us. I'm just excited to get going again in the new year, to be honest. We've worked away at the live show a lot this year, and we've moved down from a 5-piece to a 4-piece, and that's come with all sorts of challenges that have occasionally been difficult. So it was nice to kind of end on such a triumphant note.
Yeah, that's great. It is really bad that we've asked that question. We've got you on because we were both struck down by man flu, and neither of us were there.
Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't.
It's a nightmare. I know, mate. I was so gutted. But everyone that I messaged was told me how amazing the show was.
Oh, mate, you missed a classic. It was a real I was there moment.
Where were you when? Yeah, amazing. But mate, anyway, this new EP then came out last Friday, December 6th. Four Shades of the Transitional Phase. Absolutely great title. What was kind of the inspiration, the thinking behind that? Because we've already played Cuckoo, Oh, and we're going to play 666, if that's cool with you. We're going to play that after this chat. But yeah, what was the line of thinking behind the EP?
It kind of, we always had like a number of tracks kind of sitting around in different states or whatever. And then it kind of became apparent that there was a theme of, we, Pedro and I in particular, who do most of the writing, had kind of had a difficult year, and we'd become so much closer as friends over the year, and realized that we both like kind of found a codependence in one another and in the other boys in the band and friends and family around us, and sort of just realized that the year had been had required us to do a lot of growing up and to find positive perspectives on things, and that these themes kind of ran through a lot of the songs, and so we kind of found the four that told the story of that in the best possible way and showed a different side to that process of evolution, I suppose, and began to think a little more about sonically how we could tie them together and try to make a really intimate record without shying away from the ambition that I think pervades like all of our material. And it kind of just started to hang together, and it seemed the obvious way to put it out.
It's nice to hear, and quite refreshing, I suppose, in a way quite brave that you're so open even talking about it now, and so open enough to put it into records as well like that. Is it quite a cathartic thing, do you think?
Of course it is. I mean, it definitely is. And actually, to be honest, it's maybe the first time as a band collectively that's been a cathartic process for everyone involved, because there has been a central idea around the record. A lot of the time previously, especially when you're releasing singles, it's kind of harder to grasp the particular concept around what to get behind, if you see what I mean. But
yeah, for sure.
The process of recording an EP and writing these songs took several months, and so there was a plan in place that we tried to execute, and that I don't know, it was a different way of going about the making of the record, I suppose.
Sure, man. Well, I'm a massive fan. Dave's a massive fan.
Thank you, Dave.
We're going to give 666 now a spin now, but mate, We got to try and see you for a pint before Christmas.
Absolutely, yeah.
This is the challenge. Everyone I see, I'm like, I must see them for a pint before Christmas.
Yeah, that's a very.
I haven't been to work for 3 weeks.
See if we make it work.
Literally, I'm neglecting family because I'm just going for Christmas pints.
Well, let's do it. Oh, actually, Tucker and Shannon and I are going for karaoke soon. You ought to join.
There you go. What's your choice for karaoke, though?
I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
Oh, you're gonna make me cry. I want a happy Christmas.
Yeah, I probably will, but I don't know for what reason.
Amazing. Anyway, Jacob, did you want to have the pleasure of introducing 666?
Look, to be honest, mate, this title is really hard for me because I've got a horrible list. So if you could do the honors,
that's absolutely
really
fine. Okay, I'll do it on behalf of you. This is Sam Book Club with their ace new tune, 666.
Come pouring out if I blow my mind. Our friends are disappearing, that makes it such a change. Yeah! I'm starting to get the feeling the sky might come caving in if I hear my name. But when I came and saw you, we were stood on your balcony, and you told me that you were nervous about who you might come to be. Oh, but the devil's in the mirror. It's a lie, it's a deceit. Now everything's hardened out for the falling on the days when I need the sixes. You find a way to wake up my heart, even on the days when I feel so sick, sick, sick. You find a way to wake up my heart, and now I'm ready to start. Do, 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 do.
Our Big Smoke In Focus artist for episode 12 of season 2. That is Sad Boys Club there with 666 off their latest EP, Four Shades of the Transitional Phase, which came out December 6th. Loving that one, Dave, and great chat as well. And we both just sat there like, what a ballad.
Yeah, it is a bit of a ballad, isn't it?
I've completely stolen your word there. I went, yeah. What an epic tune. And you went,
you're good at doing that. I say something and you're like, I'm going to say that.
I'm just going to write a note there and use that in the next section. Fantastic.
Everyone realises half the stuff that you say, I say originally and you just steal.
Yeah, Dave just writes my scripts, so yeah, I'm actually a puppet.
Much.
Yep. And but yeah, mate, I really enjoyed that chat, actually. And it's so nice to hear an artist not give it the, like, yeah, now I'm an artist and I've written these songs and I've done this, and actually open up and kind of tell us how he's kind of pouring everything into his writing.
Yeah, and he talks. I like he talks really like eloquently about it. As in, like, he's almost like very thoughtful about what he says about his music, which I quite like.
Yeah, yeah, you do. You're definitely. I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Dave. Very good work, son. Because I do think. I mean, sometimes not bands that we've had on here, but sometimes when we meet bands at gigs or whatever, and you speak to them, and they're a bit like blasé about it, or a bit flippant, and they're kind of just a bit like, yeah, I'm in a band, and I play music.
I think I'd be like that, to be fair.
You're like that with life, to be fair, mate.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the most eloquent thing you've ever said?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Eloquent, probably.
That's why we did the feature Dave Dissects. We'll have to bring that back in season 3. Yes. Anyway, they are playing in Paris, as we mentioned in that interview there. They're playing with Gender Roles next year, and I'm sure mega, mega things to come from Sad Boys Club. And just a great bunch of guys. And if you haven't got to know them already, get on them now. They've got a real mix of tunes, but all fantastic and real. They kind of grab you by the heartstrings and really pull you in. So yeah, definitely check them out. Friends of the show. All right then, Dave, should we have another wee tune there?
Yeah.
All right then, this is Bedroom Floor from Bull.
Sitting on my bedroom floor, don't know what I do it for. Every time you kick the door, what for? 'Cause you'll never kick it in. Nobody's listening. My life must to my friend, and then hit the sound. What comes out? Open wide, you better know. Frustration.
Paul there with Bedroom Floor, released November 29th. Little Yorkshire band there, Dave. Up the Yorkshires. They're playing in Colchester on the 21st of December and then at the Cavendish Arms in London the day after. So, yeah, very late in the year to be playing some gigs. Mm. But, yeah, loving that one. And Dave's just covered the desk in front of him in lolly juice.
that's horrible.
Lolly juice.
Lolly
juice.
A bit of a chupa chup.
Chupa chup. What flavour?
I think it's raspberry.
Craig David, tell me what flavour. Raspberries. Why did you get that one?
Because it's the only one that was there. It's got the label.
Where did you find this, Dave?
Nowhere.
The only one that was there. Just one shop and all it sold was one raspberry.
Found on the floor. Half licked.
With carpet fluff.
Yep.
Stuck to it. What, are you more of a chocolate or a sweet man?
Sweets.
What is your favourite sweet?
Tangfastics.
Really? I can't handle them anymore.
No. Or Roundtree's randoms.
Mm. Oh no, but they are too random. I just want pick a mix, you know? The Roundtree's pick a mix. Boom. There's a bit of a mix, but you know what you're getting.
Well, yeah, you're obviously pick a mix, but that's not rounding it down to your favourite sweet.
Roundtree
is it?
Randoms, you're like, gee, I've got an old man's foot in my mouth and it tastes of lime.
And that's not the sweets.
Will. Yeah, mate, they're not good. I'm quite partial to a Wham bar.
Oh yeah,
or refreshers, the little sweets.
You know,
not
what
the
I find with those is that they, anytime I eat those, I feel like they're really rotting away my teeth.
Yeah, your pearly whites.
Mm.
You can't go wrong with a cold bar of chocolate at a pint.
I mean,
of milk.
I do love a Dairy Milk, but
when you have like Maltesers, do you eat the chocolate off first?
No, just chuck it all in.
You're a maniac. What about a crunchy or a Kit Kat? Do you buy the chocolate off?
No. Eat it like a real person.
You're
like a grown up.
You're a lunatic, mate.
No, you're a child.
No. There's a way to eat these chocolate bars, Dave.
I'm pretty sure the owners.
Do you know what you've just done? You've got the confectionery handbook and you've thrown it out the window.
That's what you've done.
I'm not happy. What about a Twix? Do you eat the toffee off first?
No, I just eat it.
Up, Dave.
For God's sake, just eat your chocolate like a grown-up.
Chew the caramel or the toffee or whatever it is off first.
The whole point is you eat it all together. It's the flavours together.
The flavours or textures, Dave. You have not thought this through.
You haven't thought in all fucking years, have you?
Oh, say eloquent. I'm a big man. Right, Dave. Let's have this one. This is Do Nothing. LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Yo!
No help coming once you're outside of the circle. All that's left after that is, hey there, genius, how you doing? I was halfway back to my house before the film was even done. Saying, hey, I made that mountain and now it's swallowing me up. The results are in and it looks like everybody gets a big old slice of nothing. Dumb. Like if this is the answer, then what is the question? Then oh, fantastic! Here come the secret police again. Would you buy a guitar off these men? Would you pay good money for a dinner with LeBron James? It's a shame to break up your holiday like this. It seems kind of fishy to me, but the monorail is king. If you live here, you'd be home by now. If you live here, you'd be home by now. Drain, I got all dressed up for nothing. No words, no sounds, no more AM dread, no more dead dogs, screw ups. They don't sound so bad. I'm not gonna pay you back. Are you outside your mind? What if I don't wanna? What if the money comes alive? Vacation.
Yes, yes, yes. They can do nothing wrong at the moment. That was Do Nothing with LeBron James.
From downtown!
LeBron James, I'm trying to laugh out of me, sir. That came out December 2nd. Although, before we go on to talking about them, I just want to play this from that last section that really freaked me out.
Roundtree's Randoms.
Roundtree Randoms. What is that?
That is their advertisement.
Wait, can we
hear it? Free of charge. They can have that.
One more time?
Roundtree's Randoms.
That is disturbing. I just, do you walk around the shop, get them and go,
Yeah.
I know for a fact there's very few things in life that make you go,
Things that make you go, Roundtree's Randoms.
This is being like the shittest panto ever, this episode.
Well, it's Christmas, mate.
Like, you're like, you eat chocolate wrong. No, you do.
No, you're a child.
Anyway, Dave, you saw Do Nothing the other night as part of the with sports team and DIY night. How was it?
Yeah, it was good. Part of the class of 2020 with Walt Disco.
I was in on talk show.
And talk show. Yeah. Yeah, it was good. House of Vans. Talk show, great. Oh, I love them.
They're
my one. Anyone like us, there's who's your favourite and who's going to be like... We were talking about this, weren't we, when we... went to see Fontaine's the week before.
Yeah, yeah.
And then sports team at Kentish Town. And we're talking about, like, that seems to be, at the end of the year, whoever plays Kentish Town has been, like, that's been, like, the band of the year. Mm. And I really want that to be talk show.
I think
year.
It will be. Well, Harrison Swan, lead singer, will be joining us in season 3.
Mm.
Dates TBC. But, yeah, amazing. But more on that track from Do Nothing. Such a good story behind that.
Yeah.
It's about the... owner of Fyre Festival, the doomed festival that has had the Netflix film made about it. Billy McFarlane, the guy behind it, basically conned everyone. It was about him coming out of... I think he might have served time or he had to pay a fine. He came out, then he started emailing people that had tickets and promising them, like, refunds, yeah. But in the form of, like, gifts. And one of them was dinner with LeBron James.
It is amazing.
It's just so good. So that whole track's about people just doing people over. So good. But, yeah, Dave, that show we went to sports team at Kentish Town, unreal, wasn't it?
Oh, so good.
Mate. Ooh,
and they put on a real show, which is good. I think, like, you've seen it. They've been building towards this being their big show. And they went all out. We had...
Massive balloons,
big load of confetti, everything. So yeah, it's great. It was just a really, really fun evening.
It was a fun gig. Yeah. I think you're right, and I think that kind of sums sports team up very well as a band. That they just got that fun sort of guitar,
bit tongue in cheek,
bits that sort of like just a bit.
And I just love they're really British. I love anyone that can write a song about the M5.
Yeah, and that's like their biggest song.
Yeah,
and you've got thousands of people going. Man, so good, man. But and the lead singer as well, which has definitely got a bit of Jagger about him.
Well, yeah, I said Jagger, and you kept saying they sounded like Led Zeppelin.
You non-chocolate chewing maniac. When you see them live, the guitar has a slight Led Zepp about it.
They're a mixture of Rolling Stones and the Blur.
And the Blur.
My dad. It was just bam, the blur.
But yeah, man, massive things to come from them. And I believe they'll be joining us in season 3 as well. So, Dave, thanks for joining me for the duration of season 2.
We've made it through.
And it's been a very fun. We've had some great in-focus chats. And
what's been your highlight so far?
The highlight? I think the 2 studio interviews we had.
Yeah, they were good.
They went very well. I believe so. And also the post-show pint tradition that we've had.
Yeah.
It's always good. But yeah, might not actually be happening tonight, which is weird. But anyway, we'll leave you on this one then. This is Gengo with Heavenly Maybe, released November 23rd on Liberator Music. This is off their forthcoming new album, Sanctuary, which is coming on January 31st. They've got a few dates coming up next year. They've got 15 in the UK, Europe, Australia and New Zealand. So yeah, they'll be coming to a town near you, I'm sure. But yeah, we'll leave you with this one. This is them with Heavenly Maybe. Thanks for sticking with us. All series will be back in the new year with season 3. Me, Luke Scanlon, and my trusted steed, Dave Bowen.
Bye.
Thanks very much. Have a happy new year and a great Christmas too. And say happy birthday to Dave's mum if you get a chance. Bye-bye.